Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Getting a vision. This is what I want to talk about in this program, about getting a vision beyond this journey. And, you know, one vision you hear about quite often in the church is like heaven, where, you know, people just basically let whatever happens, happens here on earth. They just kind of get, let the bulldozer just run over them of life. And they say, but, you know, we're going to be on the streets of glory. And, you know, that's all they talk about is the vision of heaven. Why hell increases on earth and we do not do what Jesus called us to do, which is to be able to pray that his kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven, that we're kingdom containers, meaning kingdom of God is within us. And we're supposed to go where he tells us to go and preach, tell somebody that the kingdom of God is near. The reason why the kingdom of God is near is because the kingdom of God is inside of you. The king's dominion is inside of you. God, Jesus is inside. Don't you understand that you are the temple, the tabernacle of God? And so we're supposed to go do something with this king and advance his kingdom. God dwells with us. And he wants to dwell with you if you haven't made him the Lord of your life. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. You can meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a difficult thing. So one of the visions that we could have, we're going to have eternal life with God forever, you know, and we're going to be no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain. But there's more. There's something that we do now. We got to get a vision beyond what's going on. And we're fixing to go through, we're already going through some pretty psychological things in America, but we're about to go through some physical things in America. I mean, just very physical. It's going to be a physical battle, as we talked about. And matter of fact, that's a really, listen to this. Go to VFN Torch and listen to a related article to this, and you'll hear the confirmation of what happened when I said it's going to be a physical battle. And an entire county got hit with this electrical. It got hit with its internet fiber optics. The moment I gave that word, it got hit. Prior to that, gave a word, and it started flooding in no flood zones. Right? We have all that available for you. So listen to this. It's going to be a physical, tough battle. But it's not over. It's just shocking to us as Americans that we would actually have to suffer. You know, we're not used to that. But when we go through, if we get a vision beyond that, you'll say, you know, I can go through this. And this is what Jesus said. He endured the cross for the joy that was on the other side. A lot of people endure life because they're thinking about heaven. But understand this. If there was something you were supposed to do here, when you stand before the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ, there's a high chance you might not be on the right side of judgment. You didn't understand. He's a king. And he tells us what his expectations of us. And we have to, there's something he expects of us. We don't do that to get saved, but the very fact that we are saved, we do it. It tells that we are.
Right.
You know, without it's the fruit. And so getting a vision beyond, this is what Proverbs 29:18 says. It says in the NIV, it says, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. So we're about to go through a huge chaotic time. And if you don't have clarity about your life, you don't have clarity about vision and what you're doing and what God expects from you, it's going to be difficult for you to get your roots down and not cast off restraint. It's like being in the rapids and you're out of your boat and you have no oar and you don't know where the river's leading you. You're just trying to keep your head above water. That's called no restraint. But if you had a vision that you're about to hit some difficult waters, you would have actually, like a prudent person, prepared, you know, and not suffered. Right. But a fool keeps going when they see trouble and they suffer for us, what God's word says. The New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I mean, is America, I mean, think about it right now, is America, a lot of the church, I mean, think about it, are we receiving divine guidance? So these little things that kind of keep things working, like a job, money moving, electricity flowing, police officers, you know, faithfully going out on their beat every day to be able to make sure that we're safe. If those things don't happen for a little bit and we don't accept divine guidance, Proverbs 29:18 says that people run wild. That's not good. And the King James says, where there's no vision, the people will perish. So I'm talking to you about a life survival plan. This is how you survive life. So many people, really, I mean, think about it. You know, people, you know, some people think about making things happen. They really do. I mean, they really think about it. They go to school thinking about it. They talk to their friends thinking about it, making things happen. And some people make things happen. But most people just end up wondering what happened. That's the sad thing about it. They didn't have any vision. There was no vision at all. And the first folks who were thinking about making things happen, they couldn't formulate, they couldn't hear clearly about what to do, because the ones that made it happen, they understood. You got to write this thing down. You got to make it clear. They understand Habakkuk 2:2-3. But you got to be able to run with this thing, and people got to run with it too. And we're going to go through some turbulent times, and we have to begin to understand how that works. And, you know, God is man's creator. He's our creator, and it's important for us to find out the answer to why am I made and why did God create me? What is God's vision for my life? Why am I here, right? And so when we get that, you'll be really surprised that he's given you talents, he's given you skills, he's given you expectations, and he expects you to bear fruit, and he expects you to gain interest on the talents that you use, and he's going to hold us accountable if we bury them out of fear, out of any reason whatsoever. It's like, we've got to get a vision. How does he want me to use my life for his glory? So a survival plan, life survival plan, because you have so much turmoil that happens in your life. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And when it does happen, quite often we're shocked. But what gets us through these difficult times? What brings us through that? It's the vision. It's the promises of God. When God speaks, there are the general promises for every believer, but God specifically has called you to do something. There's something you are supposed to do, you know, and our hearts and prayers go out to Miles Monroe and his family and all those in his ministry. But he was known for what I'm telling you right now in regards to, listen, there's seed of greatness inside of you, and you need to water it. And it's time for us to wake up and begin to do that. God gives a man a vision. He promises us something. And it's normally so clear that he says, listen, for example, he said to Israel, he says, I'm going to take you into the promised land that's flowing with milk and honey. He gives a vision to us. You know, he tells Joseph, he gives him a vision and a promise. And he tells Joseph, you know, he says, you know, that this wheat is going to bow down to you, and the sun and the moon is going to bow down to you, and your brother and your family is going to bow down to you. You know, and so he gets this vision. You know, God begins to establish something inside of us. And it's so clear when we get it. You know, some people think, man, I know this is what I'm called to do. And I talk to folks all the time. You know, they're going like, yeah, man. And they start getting, you know, business cards made up. This is my title, and this is, I got this, you know, this is my vision, and that, you know, and they're passing out their cards, you know, that you will bow down to me, brothers, you know. You know, they're passing things out, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it's amazing. We've had a couple of things like that, right? Oh, did you ever think that he was chosen?
Ooh.
Right? Remember something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Actually, never crossed my mind at all. And so so in that, you know, because it's so clear, because you did hear from God, you know, or maybe not yet. You have to understand you need to hear, because this is your survival plan. This life is so quick, it's so fast, and it gets faster and faster every day. And God has given you talents, he's given you gifts, he's got expectations of you to be able to advance his kingdom and walk in authority here on this earth. And you got to deal with, hopefully we'll be talking about this week sometime, about dealing with the spirit of strife. You can't even walk in authority until you deal with strife, and we'll talk more about that in the future. You got to confront it, because strife is the presence of a whole bunch of people that think they're the ones in authority, when it's God's the ones in authority. And so then he says, you know, this is the vision I have for you. You know, David's out tending sheep, and all of a sudden, you know, God sends Samuel to anoint him and says, you're going to be king, right? And so it's like, wow. So everybody's got a vision, right? You know, what God is. You got to write that down. Don't take it for granted, because you're going to need to look back and remember the words of the Lord. You have to encourage yourself in Ziklag, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
What is this?
Know this is a bipolar opposite right now that's going on in my life, because what happened to Joseph, when Joseph shared the vision and the dream and he passed out his business cards to his brothers, they were jealous and envious of his relationship with his father. They sought for ways to murder him. The first things that happened was the very ones that God showed him bowing down to him actually tried to murder him. And so often people will begin to start turning back on, that must not have been God right now because my brother is trying to kill me, right? Wow. They're lurking around trying to harm you, right?
Yeah.
That's a good sign that maybe you got a David anointing on your life. And so, or a Joseph anointing on your life. And so what happened was they had a plot to kill him. They actually brought Joseph out, this man who heard from God, that got a clear vision from God, and God is allowing this to happen in his life. It's called process. You know, God gives a man a vision, but then he teaches us the principle, the principles that will empower us, enable us to survive if we listen to him, in the promise when it comes to pass. We'll understand that he's still God over us and over that promise when we enter into the promised land of what he's promised us in our life. But you got to go through the principles, which are normally the bipolar opposites. He's got a murder plot against him right after the dreams, and he begins to share the vision of God with him. And it's amazing how accurate this stuff really is. And there's so many people, and some people give up. It's like, you know, I was going to minister. God spoke to me. I knew it was clear as can be, but people started hating on me the moment that, you know, my own family started talking bad about me. Welcome to Jesus' life. Hello. I mean, that's what happened to him in Nazareth. His mama and his brother thought he lost his mind.
Yeah.
And
come straighten him out.
Come straighten him out in a house, mind you, can ask. And so then you have that, or you have David. Here's David being anointed as king. Yeah, he got anointed. He went right back to doing his job because God's going to bring these things to pass. But he had to learn the principles. What was the principles? God was going to promote him, bring him in, and have him work in government. And he had an anointing on his life to be able to drive out the demons that were in the way. I mean, in Saul's palace, so he could sing a song, and all of a sudden, Congress was free with demons. Their demons were gone. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
He wasn't tormented anymore, and God sent the torment on a governmental leader so that they would call in a solution, which was King David. Which was not yet the promise because David was called to be king. If you don't understand that, you're going to think, I'm not going to be serving. I'm king. I'm not going to humble myself and do it. God told me, it's not going to happen because you're not learning the principles of the whole thing. And so David began to play his instrument. He's learning the principles, and he was really, David's excellent in regards to how he submitted to authority, and he honored the anointing that was on Saul's life. He did what was asked of him, but yet that wasn't going to be enough. There was more principles to learn. Now, the man he was going to replace, that he did not print business cards and say, I am your replacement. But this guy who he's going to replace, his name is King Saul, the first king of Israel, was going to try to kill him.
Ooh.
He's going to try to kill him. How difficult is it for you? You know, if you imagine you being David and you have this clear vision that you are anointed king of Israel, you understand presently there's somebody there that's anointed by God, and you need not lay hands on that person that's there, but you got to survive that person because they're the ones trying to kill you. So you have somebody who is anointed by God, who was set there by God, who regrets putting them there, but they're there. And David's honoring that, trying to kill David, who's just trying to do his job. Right? If you don't have clarity in this vision, you might hurt someone. You might walk around being all bitter and angry. And somebody says, well, how can you love? And it's like, it's God's plan. It's not our kingdom. Yeah. It's his kingdom. Whatever he wants to do is totally fine what he wants to do. Don't lay your hands on God's anointed. Don't catch yourself praying against God's people. You're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. It's God teaching you a lesson and principle so he can bring you into the provision of that thing. And you got to have clarity when you're running from cave to cave and the king is chasing you down, trying to kill you. And it got this bipolar leader that one moment they're going like, you meet with them one day and they're like, oh, I love you. And you're just so great. And the next day they're like, kill him, kill him. You know, this is what was going on with David. And by the way, this happens every day when God is teaching you principles. And if you don't understand that, you're not going to have clarity in the vision. I'm telling you, a survival plan. Visions are not optional. Without vision, you will perish. And it's not just your vision. It's the vision what God has called you to do in this limited time that James calls as a vapor, a survival plan, a thing that causes you to restrain yourself when somebody who is in authority is acting like a fool. And you can say, I can restrain myself because I understand God is the one that's in control. And then you go, you know, God eventually worked it all out. Next thing you know, you think about it. God told Israel, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Woo, you know, we're going to get you from slavery and captivity. We deserve honey. We deserve milk. It's about time they called our number up. Mm. You know, we're going to go in and we got all this money. There's no Walmart out here to buy nothing, but we're in this. And he takes them right in to the bipolar opposite of the promise. He takes them into the wilderness. And not only is there not milk and honey, there's bitter water in a desert. He takes them right into this place. Why? Because the principles. We have to learn the principles. Listen, giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you. What's going on is we have a whole bunch of people that are hearing all these promises, but they're refusing to go through the process to develop the character to be able to do what God's calling them to do. And there's people that it's amazing what's going on. It's like, don't you understand what you're doing? Don't you understand what you did? You know, you need to make that right. Don't you know that just the acknowledgement of making things right? I mean, you think about this. If all of a sudden you have Judas and you have Peter, right? And they both were part of the 12 disciples. And they both made serious sin and mistake. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If Judas is throwing a party, you don't go to it. Mm. But if Peter's throwing a party, you celebrate it because he is a repented man. They're two, let me think, they're both part of the 12. Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference in those two. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference. One is humble and repented and understands this is about God and it's about everybody moving in what God is doing. And you don't go, you know, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
And all 12 of them walked with God. And Saul was anointed by God and put there in place by God. But God did say, I regretted the day, which put the fear of God in all of us. It's like, you know, I don't want that to happen. And so the principle happens that if you got to have clear vision to be able to run from cave to cave with no cable, you know what I'm saying? You got to have vision when you're running for your life. And it's so much confidence in God that you can lay your face down in the front of your accuser and your assassin and say, please forgive me. And even call, David called Saul his father. The one that wanted to cut his head off, he laid his face down and became vulnerable to that one. You know why? Because he knew God was in control. A survival plan. Think about this. I'm telling you the secret to restraint in your life. If you want to get rid of the sin in your life, the pride in your life, the rebellion, you got to get meaning in life. You'll start writing out vision clearly when you understand you got to have the vision to stay clear-headed in the principle. You're never going to make it through the wilderness. Israel, when they were called out of Egypt, they didn't hear clearly when God gives them a clear vision. I brought you out here to be able to show myself to you, and I'm going to take you into this promised land. But you first have to understand that I am God, and I am going to be with you. And so they did not get a clear vision. God had to wait. This 11-day journey approximately ended up being 40 years. Why? Because the generation that came out of bondage refused to get a clear vision and to hear what God was saying about the promised land. So what happened was the promise came, but it came to their children. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Because they didn't get a clear vision. Somebody says, well, yeah, no, they didn't. Remember when Moses goes to the mountain to hear a clear vision from God about what God wanted to do, they begin to have another vision called a golden calf and begin to dance around it naked. You had Korah with his own vision, what's going on. You had people that's like, you're missing this whole point, complaining and grumbling because you're not happy with what God is doing in your life. Manna in the morning, every single morning. Got manna every morning. Right. I wish you could go back and have the loaves and the garlics and the fish.
Right.
You know, it is just like, you're missing it. And if you don't understand the process and get the principles in your life, you're not going to enter into this promise. That's what my concern is right now with us in America. It's like, we don't go through anything. We don't survive. We don't want to have, we're like the painless generation. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to willing to suffer. We don't understand. We got to have some character. You know, integrity is this. And McLeod talks about this in his book called Integrity is the Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. Right now, our reality demands character. And character will come if we'll learn the principles of God in this process. And if we'll do this, exactly what God said to you is going to come past because he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. But if you don't learn the principle, he's not going to give you something that's going to take you further away from him and destroy, or maybe you might damage somebody with it. And so here he was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. The first generation that came out didn't get it. Second generation did. They went in. They're called the Joshua generation. They got a clear vision. They were willing to be cut in their flesh and follow authority and deal what they had to deal with to be able to take the land. And they actually did it. That's how you knew, because they were able to follow authority. When they said charge, guess what? Everybody went, everybody fought, and everybody had to fight if they wanted a piece of the promise. land that was going on. And you have to understand, you're going to have to fight in this time of process in regards to fighting a spiritual battle. Well, you think about David. I mean, here's David anointed king. He goes, he's running for his life, and Saul's trying to kill him. But this is God's process. That thing that was tormenting David, which was really tormenting Saul, and Saul was tormenting David because he had a tormenting spirit. Understand that. That was God working on David. Hmm. So when God got good and ready, and it was time, when David had the principles down and he understood, and it was ready for him to move into this place of being king, Saul fell on his own sword. I mean, you know, he didn't need nobody. You know, this plotting and planning is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, only God is the one that promotes. You don't want to promote yourself.
No.
You know, or build statues, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so then, you know, they come in, the very people that were plotting with the ones trying to kill him come and get David, who wasn't even looking for promotion, and says, you know, we always were with you, David. You know, if you don't mind, would you mind coming over? You know, and when David gets there, you know what David said? This is what David said. He's talking to God. He goes, I know why you have me here. It's to protect your people, to look out for Israel. I mean, think about it. That's somebody who went through process. Saul had no process. He really had no choice either, remember? He just shows up one day looking for his father's ass or donkey in regards to King James a little bit there. And all of a sudden, they said, you're going to be king. So he went straight from looking for his father's donkeys to being king. He was terrified. He had a spirit of fear on him. He tried to do things in his own strength, and God regretted the day, but he didn't have process. Now, Saul was David's process. And so now David, the king that God, the kind of king God wanted, a man after his own heart, was going to go through process. And so you think about that. That process brought a king into place that God said, you know what? From David's daddy, a branch is going to come that my own son's going to come from. That's how powerful that is. If you're just willing to go through the process and learn the principles, vision will carry you through that time. If you don't have a vision, I mean, when you're in a cave somewhere, and believe me, that was probably, you know, obviously it was. They didn't have right guard, and they didn't have all, you know, you're sitting in this cave. They didn't have air conditioning. You know they didn't have cable in it. It was bad. And you got to sit back and you got to go, you got to remember, okay. And David's going, I was tending my sheep, and a prophet walked up to me, and he said, he anointed me after passing all my brothers up, and said, you know, you're a man after my heart. You're going to be king. You just rehearse that. Maybe you write it down and you put it and you just like, whatever, you just keep it before you. Because right now you're in a cave, the opposite of what, you know, the present king's trying to kill you. But that's God's method. That's a process, the principles, because if you get in without process, we'll be a Saul. Going Saul or being David, right? What are those two things? We got to make up our mind what we're going to do. And so many people they say, you know, I already know what I'm going to do. It's like, yeah, but you're not going to do it because you're not willing to go through process. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. You're not going to make it. You ain't got no character. If God gives you a new heart, but you got to grow your own backbone. You know, if you're still sneaking around, I mean, you ain't there yet. I don't care what kind of experiences you're having. You should be able to come up face to face, right? Who is this that speaks with such great authority? Even if it's a whisper, right? And so, I mean, you can take it this way. You can look at Joseph's life. Just taking his life real quickly because this is a survival plan. You got to find out, why did God create you? What you got? You're created for a purpose. You have a destiny. There's something you're supposed to do for God. And where you are is not a mistake of where you are. You got to find out what you're supposed to be where you are. What has God called you to be? And he's called you to tightly fit together with his body, not to be a tumor or to be cancerous and just doing this own rebellious thing. It's like fit in the context of that and what God is saying. So one good example is that here you got Joseph. He's just doing what his father tells him to do. And all of a sudden God says, okay, here's the problem. Here's a vision for you. And the vision was Joseph was that the sun and the moon was going to bow down, that his brothers were going to bow down before him. Even his father was going to bow down before him. And wheat was falling over, bowing down to him. That might not make sense to you, but a day is coming way down the road where a government official is going to have a problem that only you can solve. You don't try to figure it all out. You don't know yet. Just file that away and write it down real clear. Because all of a sudden, one day, this government official is going to look around at all of his staff and all of his cabinet and all of his people that he has, you know, his whoever's. And there's going to be a key person there that's going to tell them something that's going to bring you in. And you're going to understand what's happening to him because of the vision that God had given to you. Those things are going to come together. What God said to you here 10, 20, 30 years, 15 minutes, whatever later, those two things are going to come together, and that's going to answer something in regards to a deliverance for God's people. Something's going to happen powerfully. But this is the principle. That's the promise part. So he's passing his cards out, and you know, I'm just joking. But he's telling his daughter, he's around the kitchen, the campfire at night. He says, this is so exciting. You guys are bowing down to me. You know, and it was like, and then he goes, tells his dad, and his dad's like, what do you think? You think Joseph, you really think, you know, just everybody ridiculed him. And what went from that to going, you know, his brothers hated him. They hated Joseph, but his dad would make him go out and do things for his brothers, you know, carry some food out there to him. It's like, and he's willing to do it, even though he was hated, he was still willing to feed his brothers when they were hating on him. In other words, he was humble enough to say, you know what, even though they hate me and they resent my relationship with my father, I'm still going to be nice to my brothers. In other words, he didn't get offended by it. He didn't get bitter by it. He was just nice to them. This is God teaching us principles to be able to get to the place of the promise so God can do what he wanted to do. It's not about us. It's about God. And so then while he was doing that, that even stirred them up even, you know, it was like putting, you know, giving somebody a glass of water. It's like heaping coals on their head or something. They got so angry. They've decided, this is after God tells you you're going to be, you know, this leader person, that they have a murder plot. They're plotting on how to kill him. They're going to kill him. They're actually talking about, this is killed. I want to kill Joseph. This is a God plan, by the way. They're going to kill Joseph. And so a default setting at the last moment when one brother had a little bit of sense, it seemed, but God was working out his plan. They said, listen, let's just sell him into slavery and say he was dead. It's like, does anybody see my business cards?
It's over.
Can you put my business cards away, you know, or kick that website down? And so, call 1-800. What was I thinking? And so anyway, now he's going into slavery. This is a man who got a clear vision from God and he heard accurately. He began to share it with people who didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to understand that where they were was in a wrong place and God wanted to bring them in the right place. And what they had in their heart was pride, but they weren't willing to humble themselves. But he found that out when he began to share what God was going to do. But he didn't know in full yet. He just knew exactly what God had told him. So what happened? He's going into slavery. This is not slavery like today. I mean, this is like chains and deserts and you know, you're looking at, you know, building the pyramids and the things that we see. That was serious, intense slavery. And all he did was just hear from God a plan that God had from him. And so he's working everything he did. He honored his father. He even honored his brothers when they didn't honor him. And he even honored the slave master when he was there, because Potiphar, the one that was over that governor, he would look at Joseph and say, man, everything this guy does is blessed, because no matter where he was, he honored God in the processes of learning the principles. And that's what you got to do. You cannot live like the devil through the principle time and think you're going to enter in. No, your children may enter in, but you won't enter in. Ask Israel. And so then he brings him into his house. Potiphar brings Joseph into his house. Now he has to work for an evil boss who has Lord knows what going on against God in this place. But he was a good steward. He took real good care of the house and everything was blessed. This is the process of God. Somebody said, this couldn't be God. God's called me to be in ministry. God's called me to be a godly man in government. But now I'm working for this evil governor type thing. You know, if God opened that door, you got to just be faithful to God in those places. And what do you know? If that's not bad enough, now somebody tries to make a pass at him. There's nothing like the anointing of God on someone's life that causes someone to be attracted to that particular person, the favor of God on that person. And you got to be very careful about understanding that, you know, you don't mess with God's anointed or that kind of stuff. Everybody's going, God gave me a word, I'm supposed to marry you. Huh. Yeah, those kind of things, you know. And John just talking about people saying things to me. So anyway, and so I don't know how much time I get this. So then the boss's wife, when nobody's looking, tries to make a sexual advance at Joseph. I mean, that's you're caught between a rock and a hard place, because the boss is out of town. You know, she's the boss's wife. This is in the days that even the hint of looking like something you'd done to the boss's wife, it doesn't matter, off with your head or whatever. And he has to say, I cannot do this sin before God. So he's still honoring God in the context of that. And so he begins this run, because at that point you think, this is my boss's wife. I just got to get out of here. And she grabs his robe. He runs so fast, she grabs his coat And when his boss comes back, she lies and said, he raped me. And now after this whole Trello process, and we get back from this break, we're going to continue this on. Listen, he's being accused of a sex crime. If it was today, then Joseph would be listed in this database they have in America. Because they said that you've committed, you raped the boss's wife. And this is the process of God, and the promise is yet to come. Talking about getting a survival plan, we're about to go some real turbulent time. Life itself is turbulent. In life, we have these storms. We can cheer up when we get a vision for this life, what God's called us to. But if we don't have a vision, it's impossible to cheer up sometimes. But we're going through these processes. We're looking at Joseph's life, for example, here. And here he is. He got this clear vision from God, a promise from God. But first the promise. Now we got to learn the principles where the provision of that promise takes place. It always happens that way. And so many people get lost in the time of principle learning, and they get offended, and they don't understand. These folks, all the stuff, these unjust things happening to you is your process. It's just your process. You know, that's what you needed. That's what God wanted to do. Just receive it. Relax. Trust God. Even when you do what's right, if you suffer for doing what's wrong, he said this is commendable before God. You just bear up under unjust suffering, and telling you, Joseph had a ton of it. And so here he is, you know, he got that vision, but now it's the vision he's remembering, you know, this is what's going to happen to me. So I'm just going to hold on to this vision. And even though he's being falsely accused of raping the boss's wife, he ends up now being sent to prison. So they're saying he's guilty of it. And so now he's in prison serving a sentence for rape. I mean, look at how that would flow over in today's society. You know, you just mention anything and everybody believes. It's amazing how everybody believes everything in the paper written about other people. But when it's written about them, they think, them lying, whatever, you know. It's amazing. You know, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just you and God. You'll stand before God alone. Did you fulfill my mandate, what I told you to do? No witnesses, no suspects. What did you do? And so Joseph goes to prison. He's in prison now. He's thinking, great, if I never would have opened my mouth and would have shared the vision that God had given me, my brothers wouldn't have hated me, maybe. They wouldn't have sold me into slavery. I wouldn't have been here. Now I'm in jail serving for a rape sex crime sentence. But he even in the prison, he worked as under the Lord, and he ended up running the prison up under the leader of the prison. No matter where they put you, continue to be faithful to God. And God will, it doesn't matter. I mean, you'll just manage that, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, something bad goes down, and a cupbearer and a baker get sent to prison because something happened to Pharaoh that was evil, and they didn't know which one it was. And so they had a dream, and they said, well, I hear that Joseph, because Joseph was, I mean, Joseph's still being faithful to God. He's still abiding with God, and guess what? He's still moving in his gift. He didn't say, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to bring, you know.
Yeah.
He was still able to say, I could interpret the dream. They came to him and they said, this is our dream. And he says, well, you know, God's the one that interprets dreams, not me. I'll pray about it, whatever. And he gets this interpretation. He gives the interpretation. And the interpretation reveals that the baker was the bad dude. The cupbearer was the good dude. And that's exactly what happened. The baker ends up getting hung, and the cupbearer goes back to his job. But guess what? They totally forgot that night they came to your ministry, and God spoke to them, and their life was changed forever, and their marriage is back together. Their lung is back again. Their money's back again. Their car is back. Their job's back. They're not going to jail. I mean, all that stuff they forget. And so you know, he just stayed faithful to God. Then all of a sudden, God's going, okay, now's the time. Now's the time to bring the vision to pass. Joseph has got the principles he needed because Joseph's fixing to have to run things. And he has to be able to handle, I'm just kind of saying, you know, my thoughts about it. He has to be able to handle people. He has to be able to handle authority without lording over people. He has to be a humble leader because he's going to be leading, even though he's in this evil government, inside of him is the government of God. So he's going to lead God's way, even in an evil kingdom, how God wants them to lead. So God's going to work process in your life, even though you may be working around some evil folks. He's going to expect from you to not be evil and to walk rightly before God. So all of a sudden, now it's time for the vision. Now it's time for the promise to come to pass. The principles are learned. What does God do? God just says a few words to the Pharaoh in his sleep. That's it. He just goes, dream, dream. That. So he starts, Pharaoh starts looking around at his cabinet and people around them, fellow employees. He probably does a hiring thing, puts some blast out on different stuff, trying to figure this out. I can't figure this dream out. And guess what? The cupbearer, who's there bringing wine to Pharaoh, happens to just remember at the specific time that Joseph, who was in jail for reportedly raping Potiphar's wife, is able to interpret dreams. And guess what happened? Pharaoh calls him up and says, this is my dream. And Joseph humbly, without promoting himself, said, this is what the dream. Well, he prayed. He says, God's the one that actually interprets dreams. And so he sought the Lord, obviously, and God gave him the interpretation of the dreams. But guess what it had to do with? It had to do with wheat. It had to do with famine. The original word before all that process, it had to do with wheat, and that wheat would somehow, in some way in the future, submit to Joseph. The wheat of the area in the region would submit to him. It would just bow down to him. But he didn't say that. He just said, this is the interpretation of the dream. Famine's coming. If God says it's twice, it's a sure thing it's coming. You need to put somebody over this that can be able to handle this. And that was it. And Pharaoh was thinking, well, you're the one that we need to put over this. I mean, he didn't promote himself. Like, here's my card. I'm sure he ain't got no card by then. He's like, you're the one that needs to be. And so the Pharaoh, the one who is serving darkness, who God just whispers in his ear and changes the destiny of an entire nation, calls this man who understood the process and held on to the vision, the clarity of the vision, comes into that place, and he just tells him what it means because God revealed it to him. He stayed working with his gift and honing his gift and learning how to use what God had given him. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, you're the one we want over this. And guess what? All the wheat that ever was and that was gathered at that time came into the storehouse of Joseph. It all bowed down to him. So much so that when the famine came, there was no wheat anywhere. So they had to come to Joseph to be able to get from the business concept and the governmental concept that God had given him to be able to do through the vision he originally gave him, because he was willing to go through some process and get some character in his life. He could be the number two man in charge of all of Egypt. Think about that. And so people began to bring all their money and resources. And once they ran out of money, they began to give them their lands and begin to give them themselves. And Joseph single-handedly, under God, because he held onto the vision and he was submitted to the process and stayed faithful to God in the process and was promoted by God to this place, he was able to basically put the whole region under the subjection of his leadership, what God was going to do. Let me tell you something. First, the promise. You got to get vision and clarity. We're fixing to go some rough, rough times. Life is rough in general, but you got to get a clear vision. What has God called you to do? And if people aren't telling you about that, you got to get somewhere where somebody will teach you. Begin to listen to VFN TV more and understand what's going on and submit to the process, because you're going to need to go through that to get the character you need to be able to operate in the gifting that God's called you to. Because giftings, yes, can take you places that your character can't give you. Yes, God gives us a new heart when we're saved, but you got to grow your own backbone. God is totally, totally in control. You got to get a vision for your life. Find out more at VFNTV.com. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.